Chazal spent a considerable amount of time focusing on both the motivation and method of Korach's rebellion against Moshe and Aaron. Rashi, in the outset of our parsha, tells us that Korach was initially motivated by jealousy over the fact that his cousin Elisaphan was appointed to be the Nasi of Bnei Kahas. After all, Korach reasoned, Kahas, the grandfather, had four sons. Amram, the oldest, and his two sons, Moshe and Aaron, got the greatest kavod, the two jobs of being Moshe Rabbeinu like a melech, and Aaron like the Kohen Gadol. However, the next son is Yitzhar, and that's Korach's father. And therefore, Korach reasoned that the next position of prestige, the Nasi, the prince of this Levite family, should go to him. However, instead of it going to him, he's passed over for his younger cousin, Elitzaphan, whose father is actually the youngest. Uziel is the youngest of the children. And therefore, he feels like he has a very legitimate argument that Moshe has passed him over unjustly. Rashi, a little bit later in the Parsha, on Pasuk Zayin, adds that even though Korach had to know, certainly as the process unfolded, that this was going to end badly for him, nevertheless, he couldn't pull back. He couldn't save himself and his family, and he ended up seeing it through to the end, even though he must have known this was going to end badly for him. How come? So says Rashi there, based on Chazal, that he was blinded by a vision. He was blinded by a vision that he had seen, presumably with Ruach HaKodesh, that one day one of his descendants would be none other than the great Shmuel Hanavi. In fact, we know that Shmuel was a direct patrilineal descendant, a Ben Acher Ben 16 generations after Korach. Not only was Shmuel Hanavi a descendant, Shmuel who was so great that the Gemara in Tainus says in some ways he was as great as Moshe and Aaron, but furthermore, from him would also come 24 Mishmaros of Leviim, who would work in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, Korach reasoned, with such illustrious and prestigious descendants to come from me and my family, how can I be quiet to this injustice that is being shown towards me, towards my father, towards our family? Clearly we are deserving of this position, and it's injustice that it's being robbed from us. It's a matter of principle, I must stand up for it. This twisted logic blinded Korach and ended up leading to his destruction. The great Stipler Gaon, the Rav Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky, most well known for his multi-volume work of Chidushim on the Gemara, on Shas, known as the Kilas Yaakov, also has an additional thin single volume of insights into Chumash called Birkas Peretz. And in that Sefer, the Stipler points out that the answer to Korach's claim, a claim that perhaps at first blush seems legitimate, after all, if Yitzhar is his father, maybe he should come first. He should have been the Nasi. Says the Stipler, the answer to Korach's claim is the very fact that he created a machlokas over the leadership was in itself the greatest sign that he was unworthy of leadership. How could someone so animated by personal kavod be given a position of religious leadership? The taivas hakavod, the overriding desire for honor, is the opposite of genuine leadership, said the Stipler. Now that we've focused significantly on the motivation and the flaws of Korach's motivation, the Stipler turns his attention to the method of Korach's rebellion. We know from Chazal, very famously, that Korach's method was to try to ridicule Moshe by using two similar forms of argument. The first being, he asked, a beged shekulo tcheles, if you have a garment that's completely made out of tcheles, do you need to add an additional string of tcheles? To which Moshe said yes, to which Korach responded that that's ridiculous. If the whole garment's made of tcheles, what do you gain by adding an additional string? Similarly, Korach asked, if you had a bayis mali sforim, a house full of Torahs, do you need to add an additional mini Torah, as it were, a mezuzah on the doorpost? Moshe said yes. And again, Korach ridiculed him. If the house is full of complete Sefer Torah, what does having a miniature, small Torah, mini Torah on the doorpost add at all? The Stipler continues in his explanation and says, in a very brilliant insight, that in fact, if we examine these two arguments of Korach in a very deep and subtle way, we will see that embedded in these two arguments is the very same flaw in the desire for personal kavod and the blinding power of personal negios that we had mentioned previously are in fact is embedded in both of these arguments and questions that Korach asked Moshe. First, the idea that according to the halacha, as Moshe states, a complete garment made of tcheles is insufficient and you still need to add the extra string, says the Stipler, this is because a full beged, even made of tcheles, cannot serve in itself as the mitzvah, since as we know very famously, the purpose of tzitzis is to remind people of spirituality. The color of the tzitzis reminds you of the sea, which reminds you of the sky, which reminds you of Hashem, etc. The purpose of the tzitzis is to serve as a spiritual reminder for religious aspiration and personal growth. If that's the case, says the Stipler, the actual beged, the beged itself, That is worn primarily for warmth and protection. And once it has that and provides that personal benefit to the wearer, to the owner of the garment, then that person will never be able to see the spiritual goal that is supposed to be reminded us through the color. You'll never be able to see that spiritual goal in a way that is completely disassociated and disconnected from your personal benefit. And therefore, we need an extra string which serves no personal benefit, and it just serves the function of a religious reminder. Similarly, the house full of Torahs is insufficient and still needs a mezuzah, because the house is designed for the personal use and benefit of the owner. Therefore, the Torahs, while they're wonderful, but you can never appreciate the house full of Torahs in a way that completely is divorced from the personal benefit you get from the house itself. And therefore, a mezuzah is supposed to be a spiritual reminder to anyone going in and out of that house, in placed on the doorpost in such a way that it is serving as no other purpose, has no other benefit to the person other than the mitzvah itself. Says the Stipler, we see, therefore, embedded in both of these questions, Korach's flaw. And that is that he didn't understand that when you have personal negios, when you focus on what's best for you, what's in it for you, looking out for number one, even if mixed into that are some very legitimate and valid concerns, but once you mix in personal negios, taivas of kavod, personal benefit, that is a contaminant for genuine religiosity and authenticity, and therefore that's why, in fact, Korach was totally disqualified for a position of leadership. And therefore, says the Stipler in conclusion, even though Korach saw through Ruach HaKodesh the great Mesorah, the Shalshelis that his own family would have, and that vision of Shmuel and etc. should in of itself have saved him from his machlokas, since he saw in the future his family would achieve great kavod, and yet his desire for personal kavod and his personal gios blinded him and caused and led him to his downfall. A very profound and insightful lesson for every one of us.